In those eyes across the table, Howard recognized the same argument he'd been trying to win for 5 days, and he knew now that it was one he wasn't going to win. There were other points he could have raised, other points he had raised more than once. Like the fact that whatever Samuel actually did, Jaspar Clinton would proclaim whatever story, whatever version of the facts best served his own purposes. Or the fact that, in the end, even someone with Samuel's powerful faith and determination might well be brought to confess to sins he'd never committed, to renounce the things he'd fought for all his life. Or the fact that even if he later recanted his confession, Clinton would wave it in triumph anyway, once Samuel was safely dead and unable to dispute the Grand Inquisitor's claim that it proved the Inquisition's victory over the forces of Shan Wei. Or the fact that, of the entire circle, only Samuel and Howard knew the truth about Angelic's involvement. That if either of them was truly broken, they could lead Clinton's Inquisitors to Angelic, to all of her own contacts, to Lisbeth, Jeanette, and the boys. "It's too much, Samuel," he thought, eyes burning as he remembered that rowboat. "Too much. God may demand our willingness to die for our faith, but you always insisted he's a loving God, and you're right. And a loving God doesn't, can't demand everything else you're willing to pay. But I can't convince you of that, can I? Which is the real reason I invited you to breakfast this morning." He felt his lips twitch in a brief, totally unanticipated smile, and shook his head mentally. "Eternity's a long time," he told himself. "Probably long enough for you to forgive me, eventually." "Samuel," he began out loud, then stiffened as a heavy hand pounded on the door to his suite, and he realized that, however long eternity might be, he'd just run out of time to convince his brother. Samuel's head whipped around towards the sound of that pounding fist. His face tightened, and he inhaled deeply, but his hand was steady as he set his chocolate cup aside. "I'm afraid it's time, Howard," he said in a remarkably calm voice, never looking away from the archway into the suite's vestibule, as the fist pounded yet again.
"I love you."
"And I love you too, Samuel," Howard Wilson whispered through his tears, as the sword he'd hidden under the breakfast table severed his older brother's spinal cord. The force of the blow hurled Samuel's corpse out of his chair. And it was only his corpse. Samuel Wilson was dead before his body reached the floor, the powerful, well-trained, loving guardsman's hand behind that blow had seen to that. "I'm sorry," Howard told his brother, as the pounding was replaced by the high-pitched whine of one of the Inquisition's wands. Howard didn't need the sequence of warning notes from his suite's door to tell him the lock was being overridden. But he took one more moment to kneel beside Samuel and close the startled eyes. "Couldn't let you do it," he said huskily, remembering lake water and sunlight, solemn joy, and the smell of God's own love for the world he'd made in the pollen and the flowering spike thorn. "If that's murder, I'll take my chances arguing the case with God." He traced the sign of the scepter on his brother's forehead, then brushed tears from his eyes with a hand stained with his brother's blood, stood and stepped into the archway just as the first armored guardsman came charging towards it.
"Howard Wilson, I arrest you in—"
A voice he recognized only too well bellowed from behind the charging guardsman, only to break off as Howard's first deadly thrust drove home above the first man's protective breastplate, and blood fountained from a severed throat.
"Oh, fuck you, Carnicus," Howard snapped almost gaily across the tumbling body. "You always were a prick."
A second guardsman backpedaled suddenly, trying to stop as he found himself facing not a startled, panicked, unarmed vicar, but a trained soldier with a weapon in his hand. Unfortunately, he didn't have time to adjust to the unexpected situation.
"And fuck Clinton, too," Howard said, as the tip of his sword drove past the guardsman's frantically interposed forearm and took the man cleanly through the right eye. The luxurious vestibule was suddenly filled with the stink of blood and voided bowels. Voices were raised in consternation, and Howard bounded forward. There were at least 24 guardsmen in Carnicus's party, but no more than 4 could crowd into the vestibule at once. Howard had counted on that when he'd laid his plans against this day, and he bared his teeth as he charged his foes. A 3rd guardsman went down before the others finally got their own weapons drawn. Steel rang on steel, and yet another guardsman staggered backwards. This one was only wounded, not dead, or not yet at least. That might change yet, Howard thought, watching blood pump from the deep wound in the other man's thigh, and 2 of his companions split to come at the vicar from either side. Howard gave ground, retreating, stooping to snatch a dagger from the belt of the 1st guardsman he'd killed. He reached the archway, where no one could flank him, and stopped, sword in one hand, dagger in the other, and a deadly, deadly smile on his lips.
"Come on, boys," he invited.
Both guardsmen attacked simultaneously. The dagger in Howard's left hand parried the 1st thrust, driving it out and to the side, and his own sword licked out once more. His other opponent's breastplate was no protection against a sword point which went home a hand's breadth above it, and Howard turned on the sudden corpse's companion. A lightning flurry of feints and thrusts, and another guardsman was down.